Bill Bauman and Ann Spungen of the James Peters VA Medical Center in the Bronx, selected as finalists in the Service to America Medal category of Science and Environment. And, folks, thank you very much for joining me today. Congratulations on your selection. I look forward to running into you on Monday and meeting you in person. Bill, I'll start with you. And Ann, I want to ask you the same question. What sparked your passion for solving spinal cord mysteries? What made this thing your thing when you got started on this path such a long time ago?
Well, I was working at the VA hospital, and I realized that spinal cord injury is a catastrophic, life-altering event. So I thought that it would serve the patient's purpose if we gained knowledge to improve their health and well-being, and that still remains the driving force that propels us forward.
And what made this thing your thing?
Well, I had been working at Moss Rehab in the rehabilitation field, and my husband was transferred to New York, and he actually had met Bill indirectly, and I was introduced to Bill. He was in the process of setting up this center to study the medical consequences. I had the background skills that he needed, and I really wasn't sure what I was getting into in terms of research because it was new to me, but I was here. Within a month, I was hooked and dug in.
As I read about the work that you've done together, it strikes me that one of the major keys to your success is the collaboration and the working relationship. It sounds like it's a 1+1=3 case. Is that the case, Bill? Does the collaboration make for better results and more results?
Well, I don't think it's 1+1=3. I think it's 1+1=infinity. it really is remarkable what we can do together that neither of us could do alone. I have a certain skill set, so does Anne. We bring it to the table, and it's really remarkable how much insight and work we can get done together.
The information from the Partnership for Public Service says that you have connected science and clinical practice, and you've looked at every organ system in affected patients. When most people, lay people like me, think of spinal cord injuries, we think of the spine, and I'm 100% sure that I'm thinking about a very, very small fraction of the big picture. Am I right about that, Ann?
Absolutely. In fact, not being able to walk is some of the least of their problems. Every body system is affected. Their bowels, their bladder, their lungs, their heart, the endocrine system, their metabolism, all of it is adversely affected because of the paralysis and sedentary lifestyle imposed from the spinal cord injury.
Dr. Michael Seltzer of the Shriners Hospital in Philadelphia said about your work, not long ago, a spinal cord injury was tantamount to an early death sentence. Now these patients have an almost normal lifespan and a greatly improved quality of life. What have been some of the, mileposts or highlights, Bill, of the work that you and Ann have done together over the years that have made a big difference in extending lifespan and improving quality of life for your patients?
Well, we're very interested in reducing cardiovascular risk, and we've studied sugar and fat or carbohydrate and lipid metabolism and made the field aware that they should key in on it and treat it. We've improved bowel care and function, and we're trying to strengthen respiratory musculature in those that have residual respiratory muscle function in the higher cord lesions, and we have identified an asthma-like condition in the lung that now the field realizes exists and should be treated. I might add that the quote that you had from Mickey Seltzer pertains to mostly solving bladder issues and infectious disease issues that we have touched upon, but those large areas of medical science were studied by other investigators that have greatly increased the longevity of persons with spinal cord injury.
And how much of the treatment now for spinal cord injuries is drug or medication based, and how much of it is some other type of treatment or therapy?
Well, many of our patients have chronic pain and have chronic constipation, have spastic bladders. So those are the three biggies that cause them to use medications. There's also some that need some antidepressants, but for the most part, there are newer treatments that are on the horizon that involve physical activity. We've been studying the use of an exoskeleton for 3.5 years now, and we're finding that simply getting someone up and walking who hasn't walked since their injury is having tremendous impact on their metabolism, their body composition, their bowel function in a much more normal way, and it's reducing their levels of medication need.
So you anticipated where I wanted to go next. Ann Spungen and Bill Bauman are finalists in the Science and Environment Medal at the Service to America Medal Awards this year. The exoskeleton and the bionic walking assistance system, that's the cool, shiny technology that gets people excited because we think about the TV show, The Bionic Man and stuff. Tell me about the nuts and bolts of this system and how it works and where you expect to see it go, or what your vision at least of that system is for the foreseeable future. Either one of you take that one, please.
Okay, I'll jump in quickly. The system itself was invented by a very prolific engineer who had many other inventions to his name, who tragically became a tetraplegic in his 50s in a motor vehicle accident. He was rather shocked to see that there were no other technologies available but a wheelchair, and he spent about 12 years tinkering around in his home, and he suddenly had an FDA-approved exoskeleton. And so this device uses tilt sensor technology very similar to a Segway. So it actually, once the patient is standing, they select a remote watch that allows them to walk. They have to use weight shifting balance and weight balance perturbations in order to walk, just like normal walking, like a toddler learning to walk. And as such, the patient really learns to work the device. It's not really a robot. It's more robot-like. The patient actually drives the device through postural shifts in their upper body, and that's when the legs are triggered to take steps then. And so right now, the walking speed is only around about a mile per hour. We all walk at around 3 miles per hour. So they could actually make it walk faster, but then there's too much momentum to stop. You can't stop on a dime when you're wearing an exoskeleton. So for safety reasons, the speeds are only at a mile an hour. But that mile an hour is still fast enough to walk in a mall, walk on a sidewalk, in the park, in the hallways. It still gives them that ability to get upright and spend a little energy and get away from being stuck sitting in a wheelchair.
It's really amazing technology, and I congratulate you both on the work that you're doing, serving not just vets in the VA system, but many, many people will benefit from the work that you're doing. Bill, what is your vision for where you expect to go with your work more broadly in the future?
Well, we'd like to continue to improve the lives and well-being of our patients with spinal cord injury. We're poised to build on our past knowledge and accomplishments and be ever more productive in our work, which is terribly exciting. Our investigators look forward to contributing in a meaningful manner in many, many different clinical areas. We are poised to test new pharmacological and mechanical strategies to preserve bone and muscle shortly after injury. We can try and probably succeed in reducing cardiovascular risk even further to improve breathing and reduce pulmonary infection, which is still a large source of morbidity and mortality for those with spinal cord injury. And in those with higher cord lesions who, if they're in the rewalk stand, become hypotensive, we're learning what drugs to treat them with to maintain their blood pressure and cognition. So that and many, many other potential pharmacologic and mechanical therapies are on the horizon. You know, robotic exoskeletons are new, as you say, shiny and eye-catching. And besides being serving as great inventions for mobility, they also have medical spin-off. They improve bowel function. Bladder function also improves. Body composition improves. And if body composition improves, metabolic consequences of being injured will be lessened. So our investigators will continue to study the benefits of these and many other new and exciting drug and mechanical or robotic inventions.